Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landsat.com. That's freezedryguy@landsat.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333 and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
What makes deep sea salt from France so different? Up from the ocean depths in the south of France flow undersea rivers of pristine sea water. At high tide, the prepared salt ponds are filled with this water. Over spring and summer, processed only by ocean breezes and sunshine, the brine thickens and salt crystals float to the top. These are harvested with nets and deposited on wooden drainage flats to dry. The salt is then gathered up, packaged, and shipped around the world. This salt is much more than a box of lifeless sodium chloride. Soldiers worth their salt were once paid with this valuable commodity. It contains 78 to 84 balancing elements. This is living salt, and once you have tasted it, you will never go back to anything else. I've seen this salt in gourmet shops for $30 a pound. Get it now at 4spectrum.us for under $8 a pound. Order 10 pounds and enter the coupon code AVRSALT at checkout and save $20. Ships free to your door or call 800-581-8906. Order today.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Still damn good. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addisk. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm sitting in for Melody Cederstrom. We're starting a couple minutes late today. I had a computer crash. Exactly when the program was supposed to begin, all of a sudden my computer went down. And what can I tell you? Now we are back in business. Our guest is Bob Chapman, our resident world-renowned economist. And we will be speaking with Bob and asking and answering various questions concerning, you know, our economy as quickly as we can. Let's start with a report on the markets. If I can get the computer here to function properly, gold is down $2.30 per ounce. It's at $1,375.20. Silver is up 7 cents an ounce to $27.60. Platinum is up $10 to $1,663. And palladium is up $8 to $701. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 132 points to 11,168. NASDAQ is up almost 44 points to 2,538. What else? New York Stock Exchange up 94 to 7,565. U.S. Dollar Index is up 0.13 to 79.8. And the crude oil is up $2.81. a barrel to $84.06. Let me see what we've got. Bob, I assume you're there. I wasn't for a while. Is that you laughing, Bob?
No, I wasn't laughing.
All right.
Things happen, you know.
And when they happen right when the program is supposed to begin, the computer just crashed and all of a sudden the screen goes black. You think, oh my God! I was lucky to get back as soon as I did. Paul Krugman.
Well, you know what happened? They probably heard that you and I were going to be on the program today, and so they tried to eliminate the program.
Well, it might be they're going to have to work on their technology a little bit. It was not effective in this instance. Paul Krugman, about Sunday before last. He, for those who don't know, Paul Krugman is a Nobel Prize-winning economist and New York Times columnist. He was on one of the TV news programs Sunday a week ago, if I recall correctly, and they were discussing the national debt, and he made an extraordinary statement. He said, "Some years down the pike, we're going to get the real solution, which is going to be a combination of death panels and sales taxes." And he didn't elaborate on that, but apparently Mr. Krugman believes that the solution to our national debt problem will ultimately require a bunch of people to die. Do you know any more about what Mr. Krugman really meant when he said we're going to need death panels and sales taxes to solve the national debt? And do you agree that we will need death panels?
Well, first of all, Mr. Krugman is a closet communist. He makes himself to be a moderate socialist, but he's not. And he's probably one of the more prominent Keynesian economists. And Keynesianism, to me, after having been involved in studying it for over 50 years, is nothing more nor less than corporatist fascism. And so evidently the people who he works for, New York Times and others, and the groups that he is involved with, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, they have plans for us, which are more taxes. And what you spoke of is euthanasia, and yeah, it's part of the Medical Reform Act.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're going to do, and I have run videos in links in my publication, The International Forecaster, by eminent doctors who say that once this thing gets into gear and they're going to start using these panels, how it will work is that, let's say that you're 65 and you get ill, and they find out that you have a multiplicity of problems, and government does an evaluation, and they figure that probably with what you've got, you probably last another 10 years if we take care of you the way we can. But, you know, you become a useless eater, and you don't work anymore, and it's going to cost us about $500,000 over 10 years to keep you alive. So what they will tell the attending physician is that you're going to do this, this, and this, and that's it. And if the physician says, no, I'm not going to do that, they fine him and put him in jail. It's right in the law. And that's what Mr. Krugman is talking about. And he's in that age group. So I guess he better get ready to be eliminated. Now, this sort of thing is going to cause a lot of people, if they get any brains in their head whatsoever, to get out of the United States. Yeah. Now, I'm 75 years old. I've never used Medicare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't have any infirmities yet. I wouldn't think of reentering the United States to use Medicare. Wouldn't think for a second. And the reason why is they'd eliminate me for that and other reasons. But the point is, you don't want to be there anymore if you're over 60, 65. And what they're going to do is they're going to do this with younger people, whether they're 3 years old or 3 months old or 13 or 33, and you have a disease or things wrong with you that are going to cost a substantial amount of money over time, you will be eliminated. And when it comes to pregnancy, if the child will be known to be born deformed in some way, autistic, they will be aborted, whether you like it or not. This is the brave new world of 1984, transferred into 2012. And that's what's coming in your future. You put these people in office, you live with it.
Well, the object here, in part, is the government has made promises in terms of providing medical care, for example. And it's part of a mass of benefits and entitlements that government has promised that they know they can't provide. And they have a couple of choices here. And one is to flat out admit they're bankrupt and they can't provide these, they can't satisfy these previous promises. And one of the other choices is to eliminate the creditors to which these promises are due. I mean, if we kill enough people, they aren't going to get any benefits. They're not going to get retirement, especially, again, 65 years old. If you fall on medical problems and they don't heal you, guess what? Government has saved the money on the cost of medical care, and government has saved the money on paying your retirement, and thereby eliminated part of the national debt.
You will be Al Gano.
I understand that, and it'll be a situation where, for the moment, they're talking primarily about people that are elderly. And I'm 65 myself, so I'm in the queue on this thing. But they are also potentially talking about people who are dissidents, right? Not merely physically incorrect, but politically.
Alfred, we are terrorists.
Yeah.
And that's why they're trying to take over the internet. And next will be the shortwave stations and the alternative media, and they're going to try to do it. It'll take them a while. But they're going to try to do it. Now, there are ways that you can avoid it by going to other countries and using remote IPs, which from countries that have not agreed. But it's coming, unless the United States government has changed. And with what I saw in the last election, People don't get it. There was 100 changes, one-third of them voluntary. And it's not going to be enough to really make a difference. They're going to stuff it to you again. And America will have a revolution. And it's pretty simple. And if you people don't think in those terms, you're fooling yourself. It's called denial.
Do you think we can have a significant change in this country without first experiencing a collapse of the government?
No.
I don't either. I think the problems we're describing are so entrenched, you can't get around them unless the system has to collapse, and that means there's going to be a terrible problem across the country, and then perhaps we can step back and rebuild something that's worth having.
Well, I mean, it's become a police state.
Yeah.
Look at the airports, unless you want to go into it, TSA, but you've got armed patrols, usually state police, on road stopping automobiles arbitrarily, and they search the cars to see if they can find narcotics or guns or, I mean, the whole thing is insane.
Well, you know,
I
was sued by the Attorney General of Texas. I was sued by the Attorney General of Texas. I was one of seven defendants sued, and I was added. I was the last one added. This is an investigation and lawsuit that started in 2001, and I was the last person added. I was sued for the distribution of a controlled substance. And the controlled substance was colloidal silver. It wasn't heroin or cocaine or something like that. It was colloidal silver, which is just distilled water with some silver ions. It's used as an antibiotic. The Attorney General of Texas sued each of us, the seven defendants, for $25,000 per day. That's $9 million per year. I was added to this because I volunteered to be fiduciary for a trust that was already a defendant in the case, and so they added me as a defendant. And I began to read the relevant law. And what I saw, what amazed me, is I read the relevant drug laws. And that's what this lawsuit was being conducted under the definitions that apply to drugs such as cocaine and heroin and so on. I read the drug laws, and we found 26 separate instances in both Texas law and federal law where they used the phrase man or other animals, or the phrase animals other than man. And the first time I saw it, I thought it had to be an accident, and then I saw it a second and a third time, and I realized, my God, they don't say man or animals. For example, the definition of drugs applies to man or other animals. They're saying they deem the people to be animals. That's an absolute violation of our religious freedom, and that's what we did. I came back with a religious freedom defense, and they dropped the case. Because the drug laws in this country are based on the presumption that the people are animals. It's contrary to Genesis 26, 1, 26 through 28. It says, on the sixth day, God created man in his image and gave him dominion over the animals. You can't make me an animal without violating my freedom of religion. That was the heart of the defense. And declaring people to be an animal, incidentally, is an act of genocide. And our government has done that, and it lays that the foundation, it's the cornerstone for the war on drugs. The war on drugs gave us most of the modern police state. The police state gave us most of what passes for a prison industrial complex, and it's all based on a mass of definitions, both in Texas and the federal government. We found them in five other states where we looked. I'll bet it goes nationwide. The government presumes us to be nothing but livestock, and it's there in the law. It's not just, gee, you know, you can speculate on these things. No, you can read it if you can read. You can see it right there in the law. And when we brought it up, they dropped the case. They'd invested $500,000 and 6 years in prosecuting this case. And they didn't want to face the possibility of going to court and having to admit, my God, we've declared the people to be animals. So, we certainly live in interesting times and dangerous times. Insofar as the government perceives you and me and the rest of the people in the audience to be animals, they can handle us just like poultry on a Tyson, chicken processing plant. I don't know where to go with that exactly, but it's one of those things that's evidence.
Well, I think the way we have gone with it is it's an example of how far government state or federal in this case,
mm-hmm.
will go to prosecute people. They want to fill up those jails.
Yeah.
You live in a police state.
Absolutely.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know of no other country in the world that's like that, perhaps except China.
That's probably correct.
Something, they execute you and take your organs. But other than that, America is very unique. Well, of course, they're both totalitarian imperial powers, so to speak. And so maybe it's expected. The people who run things think that it's going to go on forever. And they think if there's a revolution, they're going to send the military out to kill everybody. In fact, even Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase are hiring Blackwater types to advise them on how to protect themselves. And they're working with them.
Well, they've got to be scared because we are headed for a conflict.
Pardon me?
I say they've got to be scared. They have to know they are badly outnumbered and we are headed for a moment when there may be dramatic conflict between those people who presume to run this country and those people who are being run, meaning you, me, the audience, and, you know, 90% of the American people. If 5% of us wake up at the same time, the people in power have a terrible problem.
5% have already been awakened, and they're waiting. Yeah. And they know it. And all of the black water types in the world are not going to save them.
I understand.
And the killing ratio may be high, but they are not going to get away. And the military is not going to come to their aid. They're going to come to the aid of the American people. And when something like that starts, you go and join the military and tell them, we don't want you bothering the people. These are the people who have done it all. And they know it. They know it. They're not dumb. They're smart people. And maybe the Pentagon won't go along with it, but in this kind of situation, they don't mean anything. All they do is direct something that they can't direct anymore because nobody's playing with them.
I know a young woman, she's about 28 years old, who recently exited from the Army. She'd been in for 8 years, including 18 months in Iraq, and she was in avionics and so on. And we were talking one day about government has now apparently following, they're keeping an eye on the people that are coming back from Iraq, and they regard them as potential terrorists. And we thought that was interesting, and she just said, yeah, they should. I mean, and she was serious. She's angry. You understand?
Good
she came back out of the military. She's angry about things that happened there, about what goes on, and she's just flat out saying, yeah, they should be watching us. Because she knows there's a bunch of people in the Army that are coming back, and they're just angry. They know they've been railroaded, and lives have been lost or at least imperiled for reasons no one can explain. Whole thing is insane, and it points to trouble, and we'll watch and see how it unfolds. I've got something here from along these same lines. Here's something from CNBC, and the headline was Credibility the Federal Reserve Under Historical Attack. The Federal Reserve is undergoing what former central bank governor Frederick Mishkin is calling an unprecedented level of attacks caused by inability to articulate a clear message regarding its multi-trillion-dollar monetary policies. Mishkin said the Fed has done a poor job justifying its efforts to buy treasuries and other securities as a way to stimulate the economy. We'll probably run out of time here. We'll take a halftime break before you have a opportunity to comment fully on this. But what does it signal that people are criticizing the Fed more so than ever before? And have they merely done a bad job of justifying their efforts to buy treasuries or other securities, or does this go a lot deeper than that?
Well, I think the campaign last year by Ron Paul and others, myself included, to audit and investigate the Fed, brought it to the attention of the world public and particularly the American public. And one of the things I noticed when in the House, some 225 people backed the bill and the bill was passed and it was killed in the Senate, or ripped apart, I must say. During that process, people found out that what they were facing was nothing more nor less than a criminal syndicate. And the people now understand that it is a criminal syndicate. It's far worse than the mafia. In fact, when Lucky Luciano was allowed to leave Dannemora Federal Penitentiary, he was allowed to get out. He had been convicted of narcotics distribution. And he was to get the mafia in Italy to spy on the Germans and help the Americans. And he did. And they actually did a magnificent job. But Luciano, when he got out, he said, "Hey, I'm in the wrong racket. I should be on Wall Street.
Yeah.
I should be a banker. Now you can steal with impunity because it's within the law."
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Yeah, I understand. We have, I think one of the important points, our people are beginning to become aware. And out of that awareness, they may not have real understanding, but they're beginning to sense there's something wrong at the top with the monetary system. It'll ultimately go to the fiat dollar. We're ultimately going to a commercial break. We will be back in about 3-4 minutes. I'm here with Bob Chapman. I'm Alfred Addis. Please stay tuned.
Family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landsat.com. That's freezedryguy@landsat.com or call 530-265-8333, 530-265-8333, and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
Americans for Immigration Control is a leading national organization dedicated to reasonable levels of legal immigration and effective enforcement to stop illegal immigration. With more than 250,000 members and supporters nationwide, we are an effective voice for immigration reform. AIC stands up in Washington for the views of most Americans on immigration. We are the leaders in stopping recent legislation to reward 10 million or more illegal aliens with legal status and eventual citizenship. The late Georgia Congressman Charlie Norwood had this to say about us: AIC has earned a reputation among members of Congress as one of the most active and responsive advocacy groups in the field of immigration. Join AIC today. For more information, go to our website, immigrationcontrol.com. That's immigrationcontrol.com or call 540-468-2023. That's 540-468-2023.
Since the beginning of the United States, Kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm sitting in for Melody Cederstrom here on Financial Survival. Our guest is economist Bob Chapman, and as we close down the first half of the program, we were talking in part about a CNBC report where former central bank governor, Federal Reserve, Frederick Mishkin, is complaining and commenting that the Fed has done a poor job of justifying its efforts to buy treasuries and other securities as a way to stimulate the economy. I've got a couple of questions on this. First off, are they really buying treasuries and other securities as a way to stimulate the economy, or is there an ulterior, is there an entirely different motive?
Well, first of all, they are buying treasuries. And the money that they're buying them with is being made up out of thin air. This past year, not this year, but the year before, that would be 2009, they probably bought 80% of all the new issue. And we can't find out for sure because they won't tell us. They say it's a state secret. They started again in a big way buying treasuries in early June, which is almost 6 months ago, and they've spent about $100 billion. And they've asked, they've said that they're going to use an additional, although they didn't tell you about the $100 billion, and they're going to use $600 billion more. I think the figure is substantially higher. The problem should have been solved in 1991-92. But they refused to do that. They had another opportunity in 2000 to 2002. They passed on that and decided they were going for everything, total control. And they passed the point of no return in June of 2003. And during that period of time, which encompasses 10 years, approximately, what they've done is continued to work at creation of money and credit. It was running around 17% a year, and that was even after they stopped publishing the statistics on the creation of money and credit, which is M3. But we've been able to back into it. And so we do have the figures. They're going to extend that. Now, the money that is now being created is not going to be like QE1. Now, this is going to be the province of the purchase of treasuries as well as agencies. That's Fannie, Freddie, Ginny, and FHA. And that probably, in and of itself, will probably aggregate something on the order of about $1.2 trillion from October the 30th of this year until September the 30th, excuse me, October the 1st of this year to September 30th. Next year, which is the fiscal year. They're going to have to also spend more money to bail out the banks from the garbage that they own, toxic waste. They haven't finished. They probably have another $2 to $3 trillion to go in that category. And they're going to end up spending $2.5 trillion for QE2 and QE3. And I made this announcement in mid-May. So I've been way, way ahead of the crowd, as usual. And if they don't do that, and the people are saying, the experts, that you shouldn't be doing that, they're right. The problem is they should have done it 3 years ago. Where were all these dissenters? They were hiding out someplace. So here they are, shouldn't do that. Well, they're right. But now what's the alternative? Deflationary collapse.
Yeah.
They don't have any choice.
In part, the purpose of purchasing these treasuries appears not simply to be to stimulate the economy, but to maintain the illusion that these treasuries have a certain level of value. They're creating a market for these treasuries in order to establish that these treasuries are worth X number of dollars, where without the demand that the Federal Reserve is providing, an artificial demand, the value of the treasuries would be substantially less, or at least that's the way it appears to me. And if you agree with that, can you give us an idea of what the treasuries might be worth if it weren't for the, on a percentage basis, the Federal Reserve stimulus, they're purchasing treasuries, it winds up with a price level of, say, 100%. What percentage of value would these treasuries have if it weren't for the Federal Reserve's interference?
Probably 30 cents on the dollar.
Whew.
And that's probably what the debt is, and that would be a default level. That would be about the same as Argentina in 99, 2000, and 2001. There's a lot of other countries in the same boat. You hear of the five pigs in Europe, plus England, and then most all of Eastern Europe. And China is not without real problems as well, and Japan is as well. So that, you know, there's plenty of trouble to go around financially and economically. The only way they can solve that is by having another big meeting like they had in the 70s, which was the Smithsonian meetings, and then in 85, the Plaza Accord, 87, the Louvre Accord. They all get together, they revalue, devalue all the currencies against one another, and they multilaterally default.
Mm-hmm.
What the percentage will be remains to be seen, but I think two-thirds has been tried and it works reasonably well. And so that's what we get to look forward to.
Well, I've got another one here, headline from Associated Press. Gloom, anger spreads as European economies teeter. Dublin anger and fear about Europe's seemingly unstoppable debt crisis coursed through the continent Wednesday. Striking workers shut down much of Portugal. Ireland proposed its deepest budget cuts in history, and seething Italian and British students clashed with police over education cuts. How serious is the problem in Europe, and what impact is it likely to have on our own economy?
It's far worse than what it's depicted to be in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
My stuff gets picked up by all kinds of foreign news services. And we research articles in French, Spanish, German, and we also get a lot of commentary in English coming out of Russia as well. And I've been on Greek television and radio a number of times. The situation is far worse than it seems to be. And I think the question is, are the Americans going to do this? And the answer is yes. I mean, they just given them the catalyst. You know, this year, 3 million Americans lost their extended unemployment between January the 1st and today. And 2 million more are going to lose it. I think the date is either November 30th or December 4th. The extended benefits are gone. That's 5 million people. And next year, it looks like there's going to be 40,000, I think the figure was I read, a month going through next year that'll lose. So that's another 500,000, we'll say. And this is going to continue. And desperate people do desperate things.
Sure.
And they're going to start throwing these people in these concentration camps that they've built. And that's when the seeds of revolution will begin. When? Probably later next year. And if they have the devaluation default that I'm talking about throughout the world, that'll make it even worse. And there'll be revolutions in every country. And I guess, you know, every government in history has become corrupt. Not every, but most every. And they all fall sooner or later. And so that's what we're stuck with.
Telephone.
Got another article here from Paul Krugman, again, Nobel Prize-winning economist in the New York Times. The article is entitled, There Will Be Blood. He doesn't say there may be blood. He says there will be blood. It's a takeoff on the title of a motion picture that came out about 4 years ago, if I recall correctly. But he says, in part, former Senator Alan Simpson is a very serious person. He must be, after all. President Obama appointed him as co-chairman of a special commission on deficit reduction. So here's what the very serious Mr. Simpson said on Friday. I can't wait for the bloodbath in April. When debt limit time comes, they're going to look around and say, what the hell do we do now? We've got guys who will not approve the debt limit extension unless we give them a piece of meat, real meat, meaning spending cuts. And boy, the bloodbath will be extraordinary. Now, this is a quote again from former Senator Alan Simpson, Wyoming or Montana, I'm not sure. And Mr. Krugman says, think of Mr. Simpson's bloodlust as one more piece of evidence that our nation is in much worse shape, much closer to a political breakdown than most people realize. On the one hand, he is consistent with your analysis. You're telling us that things are a lot worse, certainly in Europe, than people suspect, or in this country. And implicitly, things are worse than most Americans imagine. Mr. Krugman is suggesting that come April, when the Congress is called upon to increase the spending limit in order to cover more debt, that the Republicans may not cooperate, and if they don't, there's going to be hell to pay. What's your opinion on that? Is April the target date where we may see some serious trouble in this country, or is this much ado about nothing, or how's this going to work out?
Well, I think it depends on the success of the Illuminists and how many people I can buy off. That's where it all hinges. And, of course, they're working very diligently today. You know, they started right after the election on the approximately 100 new congressmen and senators. If they don't have good success, that sort of rejection will happen, of extension of debt and additional debt. If they're successful, it'll be rolled over, and new debt limits will be put in place. If I had to guess, I'd say probably, considering what's been elected and reelected, the reelected is the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably go along with it. And I'm guessing. It's a qualified professional guess. But the possibility is there. What he says is absolutely true. The thing is, will they succumb to money. We'll have to wait and find out.
Well, the odds
are obviously thinks they will not.
I expect you're right. I expect they will succumb to money. But they will first do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight by compelling the federal government to cut spending to some degree, and then they'll go along with increasing the debt. And I'm just wondering, can the economy take that? Is that going to be good for us? I know it's good long-term in a sense, but can we, how much debt, how much government spending can be cut right now without pushing the economy deeper into the current hole?
The only thing that can really be cut in any really meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And I just said to Judy, before the program started, the only way to do it is to pull all of the troops, everything, out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And you could cut $300 or $400 billion off the budget, just like that. And that's the secret. And that will be the end of the American empire, of going around and murdering people, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, and I know, military people on active duty, retired, and those who have left the military are furious of what's been done to them in these make-believe wars. I mean, Americans are finding out that they were all setups.
Yeah.
World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, 377, I think it is, posts where we get people throughout the world, military personnel. That's what has to be cut. And they don't want to do that because they make a lot of money out of it and they control the public with wars, particularly large wars.
I understand. Here's another one from Reuters. And the headline is Scrap Dollar is Sole Reserve Currency, UN Report. A new United Nations report released on Tuesday calls for abandoning the U.S. dollar as the main global reserve currency, saying that it's been unable to safeguard value. I mean, what fiat currency can safeguard value? It's the intent of fiat currencies that they don't safeguard value. But in any case, the UN is apparently calling for abandoning the U.S. dollar as the main global reserve currency. How likely is that to happen, and how soon might it happen if it's going to happen? Do you have any predictions?
I would say 6 months to 2 years.
Okay.
And that's by next June or later. Could happen earlier. It's hard to put dates on things. They're just, I mean, so many things are going on today, and I see so many people saying this, that, or the other thing is going to happen. It's going to happen at such and such a time. They're all getting crushed. And there's so many change in events, so many different factors today that we just can't put brackets on when something's going to happen. I mean, the price of gold, I mean, is it going to be $3,000 an ounce next year? I don't know. But I do know it's going higher. So in the case of the dollar, yes, they'll try to find a replacement. When will that happen? I don't know. I just said 6 months to 2 years. That's a good time frame. Will it happen sooner? Maybe. I just don't know. And the people who are running this thing, they don't know either.
Yeah. Well, part of the question is, what kind of reserve currency can they create that is going to safeguard value? That's what they're calling, saying that the dollar's been unable to safeguard value. What currency can safeguard value other than gold or silver? Is it possible for a fiat currency to safeguard value?
It's pretty simple. They take the 6 major or the 20 major or the 50 major currencies in the world, and they give them a grade. and every one of them has to be backed by gold, and they put them into an index. Now, the simplest way to do it would be take the top six. They would all have to have gold backing. What would the percentage be? 15% would be acceptable. 25% would be much better. Will that happen? Yes, it will. Because people are not going to take an SDR or a Bancor, which would both be forbidden by IMF rules to be backed by gold. So they can't be used. People are not, throughout the world, going to accept another fiat currency, even though their own currency is fiat.
No.
They're not going to do it.
I agree.
They'll live with their own currency, but they're surely not going to live with an international currency that has dubious value.
Yeah, you might hang on to it for a brief period of time. You can speculate in a currency as if you're going into the Forex market, and you can buy dollars or yen or yuan or whatever it is you want today and maybe sell it in a few hours or a couple of days. But long term, hard to point to anything other than gold and silver that has a minimal amount of risk and a maximal amount of perhaps at least stability, maybe appreciation. We're headed back to gold and silver. The question in terms of timing, I think the main question, everyone understands that no one can say exactly when this is going to happen, but the big concern is there a danger that's present right this minute in the sense that this could happen, we could see a dramatic adverse event in the course of the next 30 days, or do we have 6 months minimum where we can get kind of prepared? How dangerous is this in terms of time? What's more than likely we got a little more time to get ready. Is that true?
That's probably about it.
Yep.
All right. I've got one more here on public pension plans. According to a report by the American Enterprise Institute, public pension plans are underfunded by more than $3 trillion. Where's that going to go? How's that going to be resolved? Do you have any idea?
Sure, it's pretty simple. You pay them, instead of paying them $1 for the pension, which was promised, you'll end up paying them 30, 35 cents, 40 cents.
Yeah.
And that's at the state where the market's around 11,000 on the Dow. Suppose that Richard Russell's right, and it goes to 1,000. Or suppose that Joe Granville and Bob Chapman and David Tice are right, and it goes down to 28 to 3,200. I mean, where are these pension funds going to be? The percentage of unfunding overall is funded for about 60%, maybe approximately. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. So the market goes down, and interest rates go up, and bonds fall. What then will it be? 30%? 20%?
Well, I'm reading from an article. I'm reading from an article right now where it talks about pension. It lists public pension plans less than 30% funded, and they list the Illinois SERS, S-E-R-S account pension plan 23% funded, Indiana Teachers 26%, Connecticut SERS 27%, Oklahoma Teachers 27%, Rhode Island, West Virginia, Illinois, Kentucky. We've already got a bunch of them that are only 30% or less funded right now.
Well, labor unions. All the money's been stolen. They're probably 30% funded.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government is totally unfunded. They have no money. They create it.
And, of course, if they create the money, they also create some degree of inflation, and the money is there in terms of nominal sense, but in terms of purchasing power, you're still going to take the beating. You may get a pension fund. If you've got a pension fund that says you're getting $1,500 a month, you'll get $1,500 a month, but it'll only buy $500 worth of groceries as compared to when the $1,500 was promised.
Well, that's if they pay them that.
Yeah. We've got probably about a minute left. Why don't you tell folks how they can get a copy of the International Forecaster?
The forecast is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world, published by email, Wednesdays and Saturday, runs around 40 pages. Hard copy goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. Anything that you need to know every week is in the Forecaster. The free copy, if you'd like one, introductory, go to theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com, or to www.intforecaster.com, intforecaster.com. If you have a question, email us at bob@intforecaster.com, bob@intforecaster.com. You can also call 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
That's right, and that's to discount gold and silver, and Melody can help you get a free copy of the International Forecaster. We've got about 45 seconds left. What should people do? In 30 seconds or less, what should people do to prepare for what may be coming?
Dehydrated, freeze-dried foods. There's going to be lots more layoffs. Water filter. Something to defend your family. Gold and silver coins. And if you have a fair amount of money, then you want to have gold and silver shares as well.
All right, Bob, I want to thank you very much for being on the program again. And thank all of you in the audience for listening. Melody will be back on Friday, and I'll be back next Tuesday, and Bob will be back several days over the course of the next weeks and months. I'm Alfred Addis. I'm saying thank you for myself and Bob Chapman and Financial Survival. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.